We have everybody in, Jay.
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Okay. Well, then let's get started. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Good morning. My name is Brennan Williams. I'll be serving as the Development Hearing Officer, the DHO, for the items on today's agenda. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. It is 9:02 a.m. Today is November the 12th, 2025. Before we get into discussing the cases that are listed on the agenda, there are just a couple points of procedure that I'd like to go over before we get started, just so everybody's on the same page. First, this is a remote or an online hearing wherein all attendees will participate through video or audio conference. We are recording today's meeting, so we ask that applicants keep their audio muted and their camera or their video off. Until it's their turn to speak, just helps keep a cleaner record. Similarly, we ask that before anybody begins giving testimony or begins speaking, that they just give us their name. Again, it helps to keep a cleaner record. Secondly, we have city staff members that are acting as hearing monitors today, and they will be using the chat function on Zoom to keep everyone updated on the particular agenda item that we're discussing. Participants in today's meeting will also be able to use this chat feature to ask questions of the meeting moderators, but please remember that these chat conversations are part of the official record of the hearing and they are subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Therefore, we ask that all comments remain relevant to the subject hearing. Next, as a reminder for today's applicants, any plats that are approved today will be electronically signed following the meeting today. If plat approval is based on conditions, we ask that you coordinate with the respective DFT member to complete any associated steps. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck, our planning manager, routes the platting materials to the respective DFT members once the final PDF document has been submitted. And in all cases, the city engineer is the last person to sign the plat. Ms. Gomez, Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor today. Ms. Gomez, good morning. Are there any changes to today's agenda?
I have no changes to announce this morning.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So now that the agenda is set for our meeting this morning, I'd like to specifically address any members of the general public that are interested in speaking on a particular item. For each case on today's agenda, we begin by hearing from the applicant or the applicant's agent, and then giving them an opportunity to explain their proposal. Following their introductory statements, I will announce that comments from the members of the public will be taken. You can let us know of your intention to testify by either using the raise your hand feature, which is located at the bottom of your screen, or by waving your hand in front of your camera, as I'm doing here, just to let us know of your intention to testify. Similarly, if you're participating only over the telephone, if you'll press star 9 on your keypad and announce that you'd like to participate or you'd like to testify, we'll give you an opportunity to do so. Please note that we welcome and appreciate public comment on all of today's items, but testimony should be pertinent to the request and be provided in a respectful, professional manner. Any participant causing disruption to today's meeting will be removed from the hearing. In the unlikely event that we experience technical issues during the meeting this morning, we will conclude the hearing and resume again at 1 o'clock this afternoon using the same Zoom link and telephone number to complete the hearing. Finally, as we get ready to begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Hearing Officer. The DHO was created in 2022 by amendment to the IDO, the Integrated Development Ordinance. In considering all applications, the DHO and members of the DFT apply the standards and requirements of the IDO and the city's development process manual when reviewing all of today's applications. All right, thank you for your patience on that. We've got that out of the way. Let's begin with the first item on the agenda this morning. That's item number one, PR 2021-005862. Major plat application number 2025-00014, Renee Regal and John Stapleton, agents for Tulane Properties Inc., request the aforementioned action for all or a portion of lot tract 16D2, El Rancho Grande, Unit 16. Subject property is zoned R1A, located on Gibson Boulevard Southwest between Gibson Boulevard and Delgado Road, containing approximately 16.4472 acres in area. Do we have representatives from the applicant team that are with us this morning?
Yes, this is John Stapleton with CDS.
Mr. Stapleton, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me swear you in, and then if you'll begin by giving us your name and mailing address for the record, and I'll give you an opportunity to explain or give us an update on the proposal, okay?
Sure.
All right. Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided in this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
All right, this is John Stapleton, 4173 Crown Eagle Loop Northeast, Rio Rancho, 87144. This is a proposed preliminary plat for what is the third phase of this El Rancho subdivision. The previous two phases are to the east. We're showing 103 proposed lots. You can see the previous phase stubbed out roads, Crandall, Denton, Gondola, and we're just continuing those roads to the end of the property. We've already been through a sketch plat for this and understand that we're, subject to contextual lot size standards. As far as public infrastructure is concerned, the roads follow the DPM's criteria for these levels of roadways. We're also building half of Gibson Boulevard, since the other half is already constructed, but we're constructing as part of this development the half along our frontage. As you mentioned, this is located at the very end of Gibson. And then for utilities, we're constructing them per the approved availability statement from the Water Authority. Other than that, I'm ready to go through comments with staff.
Okay, Mr. Stapleton, thank you so much. Let me double check to see if we have any members of the public, and then I agree with your suggestion. We'll hear from our DFT staff members, okay? All right, are there any members of the public that wish to provide input or testimony on item number one this morning? That's PR 2021-0058862. If so, if you would just raise your hand. I'm scrolling through the participants here, and I'm not seeing anybody. Last call for any member of the public wishing to speak or provide testimony on item number one. All right, Mr. Stapleton, sit tight. Let's hear from our DFT members, then I'll come back to you, okay? Mr. Gutierrez, let's begin with Water Authority. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you so much. What are Water Authority comments?
There is an availability statement 2412-06 that does provide conditions for service, as mentioned. All we need to see is a infrastructure list and financial guarantee, or construction, of course, prior to the final sign-off. That's it for the Water Authority. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's move to code enforcement next. Mr. Rodenbeck, do we have anybody that will be doing those code comments?
This is Jay Rodenbeck.
I'll be delivering code comments.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Marcella, thank you so much. Mr. Ibarra, for code comments, do you swear or affirm the testimony you provide on this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Marcelo, delivering comments for code enforcement. All prior comments from the DFT sketch plan have been addressed in prior communications. Code enforcement has no further comments or objections.
Mr. Ibarra, thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Give me one second. Okay, let's do Parks and Rec next. Do we have anybody, Mr. Rodenbeck, from Parks?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Mr. Hearing Officer, give me one second here.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and read them off.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Let me swear you in real quick, Jay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. What does Parks say?
One second, sir. Sorry. I'm pulling up here. This is Jay Rodenbeck. Parks and Recreation had no comments or objections to the requested action.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Hydrology will be next. Mr. Chin, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me swear you in real quick. Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. What are hydrology comments, please?
Geology has approved a conceptual gradient drainage plan with engineer stamp data of August 20th, 2025. Hydrology has no objection. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Appreciate that. Mr. Armijo, let's do transportation next, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided in this matter will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if you had looked at my comments, but anyway, I had that they that the applicant hadn't listed the infrastructure along Gibson with their infrastructure list. They have since once they saw my comments, they did provide an updated one yesterday, and I looked it over, so that one looks good. So they've taken care of my comments there. I had something for future site plan for a traffic scoping form. They went ahead and sent me one. I looked at that one, and they, for when it comes to site plan, they will not need a traffic study on this. So transportation has no objection.
All right, thank you so much. And thank you to the applicant team for getting that information to Mr. Armijo. Mr. Rudenbeck, I see that your hand is up, sir.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Hearing Officer, I noted that Parks and Recreation had no comments or objections to this requested action, which is what they have in their memo. But they note for future development, refer to the sketch plat memo from July 2nd, 2025. They refer to providing a 10-foot asphalt paved multi-use trail for future development along the, excuse me, northern side of Gibson Boulevard to connect to the existing trail to the east of the subject site. And so with a plat like this, we need to probably coordinate with Parks and Rec planners on this particular comment because it could potentially apply to this platting action rather than future, because the future development is single family residential. These trails are typically tied to either major development or to platting action. So John, just a heads up, we can't move, well, as planning will go over, we did a waiver submitted for this development, and we're going to probably see this again, but we probably need to coordinate with Parks and Rec on this particular comment that they have. Did you see this?
I did. This is John Stapleton. I've included the 10-foot multi-use trail on the infrastructure list. It's in lieu of sidewalk along Gibson, which is extending the existing trail. So I think we've got it covered since it's in the infrastructure list.
Oh, good, good. And I see Ernest has his hand up, Mr. Hearing Officer. He might want
Yes, thank you, Mr. Runbeck. Mr. Armijo, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just about to say what Mr. Stapleton had mentioned when I reviewed the updated infrastructure list. He did include the trail in there.
Okay, good.
All right, good. Glad we're all on the same page. Let's see. Planning comments will be next.
It'll be me, sir.
Mr. Webb, thank you, sir. Good morning. Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Robert with planning. There is a waiver submittal that was submitted, so this case will be actually be heard next week at the DHS. So due to the Thanksgiving holiday, we're having one this week and next week. So the residential lots along Gibson are. It's called out in 54F2B that residential lots shall avoid layouts where the rear lot line is adjacent to collector arterial street and local frontage roads may be used within a subdivision to avoid locating residential rear yard walls along the collector and arterial street. So they've applied for a waiver to that particular standard. So that'll be heard next week. And then there were some also some comments from AMAFCA and PNM that I don't know if John, if your team has already kind of talked to PNM and AMAFCA to kind of solve that, or if they just had questions or what the situation was there. So I just needed to clarify if that was something that needed to be adjusted or if it was already handled.
Sure, this is John Stapleton. So I sent some correspondence to Jared Romero on AMAFCA yesterday to hopefully address the most significant of his comments, although I believe he's on this hearing, so we can discuss his comments.
Okay.
PNM's comments appear to me to simply be informational, but I have not reached out and coordinated with them yet.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure because I know that this, went through vacations last time, and I didn't know if they were referencing the easements that were vacated or if it was just informational. So I wasn't quite clear. So we probably need to just get verification on that, so nothing holds you up, next week,
For sure.
as far as that goes. The other comments that we had are just going to be standard comments for the documentation, such as project and application numbers added to the plat, the date of DHO approval once it's approved, and then of course the AGIS DXF file approval on there as far as moving forward. Did you have any other questions regarding our comments? Okay, Jay.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jay Rodenbeck. I just want to note Jared Romero from IMAPCA is here in the meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rodenbeck. I saw him. Mr. Romero, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very good. Let me swear you in, and then if you've got any comments to make, give you the opportunity to do so. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll provide on this matter will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. IMAPCA did transmit comments related to this plat earlier, and I believe that John with CDS has received those. I'll go ahead and kind of go through them now. The vacation of the existing 40-foot access easement subject to this plat listed as Note G is subject to IMAPCA Board of Directors approval. So that's not something that staff is given the authority to sign off on, including granting of any new easements. So, John, just FYI, you will have to go through our board approval process for that. The remaining comments, there is, I do have some questions as it relates to the cul-de-sac at Crandall and Sunset Peak Drive adjacent to tract 16F1, which is owned by IMAPCA. It's just a little unclear as to where the private properties or anticipated private lots will be 23 and 24 as they relate to the HOA tract E. All of those are adjacent to IMAPCA's property. So if there can just be a little bit of clarification, maybe a pop out on that on the plat, that would suffice to address that comment. I believe some of the discussion that John was hoping to have is related to the easements that are being shown on tract 16F1 owned by IMAPCA. IMAPCA's board of directors has maintained a policy that they do not grant easements over IMAPCA property. And to my understanding, those are not existing easements, those are new proposed easements. Any sort of utility crossing related to IMAPCA properties is dealt with on an individual basis with licenses and utility agreements specifically with IMAPCA. So I requested that those easements shown across the IMAPCA-owned property, which is not subject to this plat, be removed for this platting action. The site is within an existing IMAPCA drainage management plan, so the subdivision itself will have to comply with those requirements. That's something that's typically coordinated with the engineer and city hydrology as they move through the approval processes. And then with the vacation of the existing IMAPCA easement, the dedication of the right of way for the streets, there will need to be access improvements at the cul-de-sac for Crandall Road and Sunset Peak Drive, so that IMAPCA can continue to access our property at tract 16F1. Those improvements are typically identified in the public work order plans and then on the infrastructure list. So that is in addition to the infrastructure list that IMAPCA is requesting. IMAPCA will also need to sign off on the infrastructure list when those improvements are added. That improvement is really just limited to an access gate and the drive path that is already being proposed.
Thank you, Mr. Romero. Mr. Stapleton, any questions about the comments from Mr. Romero?
This is John Stapleton. Hey, Jared, that all makes sense. I'll update the infrastructure list. We are going through DRC this afternoon, and we do already have a drive pad and gate proposed, but I'll get it on the infrastructure list. For the easement that crosses IMAPCA's property is for a public water line. I sent you the approved DRC plans for those that IMAPCA signed off on yesterday. Does that change? at all whether or not to show this easement on this plat? No.
No. So that I reviewed those plans for the water line several years ago. At the time, the board was okay with authorizing easements on a MAFCA property. That is not their current policy or standing. Those are things that are worked out individually with the water authority, and we do long-term utility licenses for those. So the infrastructure identified on those off-site water plans will not change. Just the way that it is permitted through a MAFCA property would change, and then removed from this if the water authority needs to have some identification that there will be access given for that utility line. We have added language to the plat that I can provide to you that has sufficed in previous cases.
Okay, that makes sense. Can you explain briefly what the process is for me to get the easement G vacated with the board and the next steps for getting the license agreement in place between the Water Authority and MAFCA for the offset easement?
Right. So the board process includes basically I would review myself and Kana, our development review engineer, would review the platting action. Once we are satisfied that the plat addresses all of our comments, we would add it to the subsequent board meeting agenda. And then from that point, using the plat that you would provide, we would prepare any of the documentation provided to the board. The board would authorize the executive director or his designee to sign the plat at that point. So as soon as it is heard by the board and then approved, we can sign on the plat. The public utility license, that is something that is done typically by the water authority because that agreement is with the water authority itself. If you're acting on their behalf, then we would just need sort of a request for that process to continue, but we would need some authorization that you're acting on behalf of the water authority to execute that agreement. The signatures would still need to go through water authority approval. Those are done kind of offline with the plans and the platting action.
Awesome. That makes sense. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Webb, your hand went up. Go ahead,
Yes,
please.
Jared, I wanted to make sure to understand the updates that you need and some of the board approvals. Those need to be done before the plat is approved, or are they done outside of this process?
I would need to see the changes to the plat prior to submitting it to the board. I would not, MAFCA would not be able to sign the plat until the board approves that vacation of the easement.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Anybody else? Mr. Rodenbeck, go ahead.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. So, Jared, I was going to ask that same question that Robert brought up, which so the question I think is, would you be okay with the development hearing officer approving the preliminary plat and then requiring all that be dealt with prior to sign off of the final plat? This is a major platting action.
Yeah, I believe that would be fine. The comments are not, the changes to the plat are not substantive enough that they, in my opinion, which should be denied preliminary plat approval. But when it comes to final plat approval and a MAFCA signature on the plat, we would have to have board approval prior to that.
All right, appreciate that confirmation.
Yeah, good question. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, any other participants with comments before we move back to Mr. Stapleton here? All right, thank you, folks. Mr. Stapleton, as mentioned previously, we can't make a decision on this, but we will hear it again, or we will reconvene next week, but just give you an opportunity to provide any closing comments at this point.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate all staff's feedback. The one final item I wanted to mention to make sure we've addressed it is I sent staff our justification for the cul-de-sac yesterday via email. Was that justification sufficient, Jay? I just want to make sure we get that tied up now so it doesn't come up later.
Jay Runbeck. When did you send this, John?
Oh, you know what? I sent it yesterday, but you guys were out. The city was off yesterday. I can give a brief verbal explanation. So, the IDO does not allow cul-de-sacs or stub streets unless there's a couple of exceptions, essentially due to topography or existing development patterns. If you share that plat that you were our proposed plat there that you were sharing a moment ago, we can take a look. I believe code enforcement had mentioned that we would need to justify that cul-de-sac. Thank you, Jacob. At the end of Ingram, so as you can see noted on the plat there, Ingram Road was built as a stub street, a 38-foot right of way, which is not, in my opinion, although Ernest could speak to it, suitable to continue as a through street. That narrow of a right of way and that narrow of a street is was always intended as a sub street. So as a result, we put a cul-de-sac on the end of Sunstone Path instead of continuing it through like we continued Galinda and the other roads to the north. We could, if staff wants us to, turn Sunstone Path at a right angle and tie it back down to Bowie Road. That would leave a single lot surrounded by roads on four sides, which seems like not a very safe condition or a very good idea. So instead, we've got a cul-de-sac and an HOA tract that'll be landscaped and open with a path through it south of the cul-de-sac, which I really think is the best solution there.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. John, I would defer to Ernest Armijo with transportation on this question. This seems like a transportation-related question.
Yeah, I mean, it's like looking at it. I mean, I get to where you're coming from, John. It's like it looks weird, and I'm sure that once this is built, residents may ask, "Well, why didn't they just connect them?" But I can see your reasoning on this one. I don't have an objection to it.
Thanks. And there's a wall there, in between the phases of the subdivisions. I do, in my opinion, it meets the exception noted in the IDO.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I do need to ask a question, though, Ernest. Is you may not object to it, but is there an IDO or DPM issue with this?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, they're applying for a waiver for these lots along Gibson Boulevard for the rear yards facing a collector. That would be another waiver requirement, I would imagine, if there was an issue with the cul-de-sac.
This is
Yeah.
John Stapleton. Jay, obviously, I'll defer to staff. The section in the IDO gives the exceptions that are allowed to use a cul-de-sac without mentioning a waiver. So I think as long as we note that it meets the exception, I mean, the wording explicitly says cul-de-sacs are allowed where necessary to avoid sensitive lands or where vehicle or safety factors make a connection impractical, including but not limited to size or shape or lots, topography, surrounding development patterns, and physical characteristics,
Okay, yeah,
which I think
exactly.
is definitely this scenario.
Thanks for that confirmation, John. I again, this is Jay Rodenbeck. I defer to Ernest Armijo with transportation, but it sounds like there's no IDO or DPM issue here that need to be waived.
This is Robert Webb. John, was there any part of the plat or the infrastructure that needed to be phased, or is just this just a portion of the final phase of the subdivision?
Correct. This is the final phase
Okay.
of the existing subdivisions.
Okay, thank you.
Other than that, I have no additional comments, questions, or concerns. Thank you, guys.
Stapleton, thank you so much. All right, because we still, as mentioned previously, we still need waivers that pertain to this project. We will not be making a decision today, but this matter will be deferred until next week, which will be the DHO hearing of November the 19th. Mr. Stapleton and participants, thank you for your testimony this morning, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks, sir.